Today I'm going to talk about my paper Mojave, a recommendation system for software upgrades. This work was done in joint work with EPFL, my co-authors and my advisor Ricardo Bianchini. So let's start with what motivated me to do this work. Modern software is complex and requires frequent updates, typically once every few weeks, to fix bugs, patch security vulnerabilities, to add or remove features, and so on. Interestingly, many of these upgrades fail. A survey in 2007 showed that 5 to 10% of all upgrades fail. In addition, when we surveyed about 100 bugs across 5 versions of OpenSSH, we found out that 41% of all the bugs reported in OpenSSH are due to upgrades. And when we looked deeper into the root cause of those upgrade failures, we found that the user's environment settings, such as their application-specific configurations, or system environment data like the OS version or system libraries, and their input are a major source of upgrade failures. So what do people do today to handle these failures? Well, developers typically deploy upgrades as packages to be handled by the package management system. Package management systems typically check if the right software is in the right place. However, they do not check for the correctness of the software at a given user site. And what do users do to avoid these problems? Well, they try and delay installing the upgrades for as long as possible or until many other users have provided a positive feedback. Now, this feedback might be incomplete or irrelevant if the usage characteristics of the users that provide this feedback and the usage characteristics of the users that are consuming this feedback are significantly different. So in summary, none of these approaches is ideal, and the question is, can we do better? Well, one approach would be to increase the developer and user collaboration. One thing the developers could do is integrate the users in an upgrade deployment cycle by testing the upgrades at many user sites with diverse environments and with their respective input and collect feedback from them. The feedback that the developers could collect would be like their environment settings, their dynamic execution behavior, which would be the representative of the user's input, and whether the upgrade passed or failed. Now, based on this feedback, the developer could aggregate data from many such users and leverage this data to prevent failures for the new users that come thereafter. So based on this approach, in this work, we proposed Mojave, a recommendation system for software upgrades. Mojave provides accurate recommendations to new users by predicting the likelihood of an upgrade failure at that given user site. And to do so, Mojave uses machine learning, and users' environment and runtime data. And in this talk, I'll talk about how we evaluate Mojave with two real OpenSSH upgrade failures. So with this motivation, here's the outline for the rest of my talk. I gave a brief overview. I'll discuss my system in greater detail, present the evaluation, and then finally conclude the talk. So let's start with what was the key idea behind Mojave's design. The first key observation was that upgrades fail mostly because of users' environment settings and inputs. The second is, if two users have similar attributes in terms of their environment and or input, then they're likely to experience same failures. And the third is, if two users have behave similarly with respect to each other before the upgrade, then they're likely to have the same behavior even after the upgrade. And so, based on these observations, what Mojave does is first it identifies the failure characteristics of a particular upgrade failure, and then uses the user similarity to predict whether an upgrade would fail at a given user site or not. So let's look at the steps in detail. So Mojave works in two different phases. The first is a learning phase, where it's collecting data and building, understanding the failure characteristics of the upgrades. So as a first step, the developer would install the upgrade to initial set of users. These users would install the upgrade and test the upgrade with their respective input and provide the developer with the feedback in terms of their environment settings, their call sequences, and whether the upgrade passed or failed. Now, call sequence is a sequence of functions that got executed for a particular run of the software. So for instance, it's an SSH, and I do SSH minus L and give a command, it will log all the functions that were executed for that single run and report it back to the developer. In the paper, you'll find the details of how Mojave could handle multiple such call sequences from each user But for the rest of the talk, I'll assume that each user provides only a single call sequence. Now, once the developer has collected this data from a bunch of users, the first thing it does is tries to determine the failure characteristics. It starts by taking the environment settings and the success failure flags and feeding it to a feature selection algorithm. This feature selection algorithm would, it takes as input all the instances. Each instance is representative of a single user. So there are a bunch of environment settings and a pass or a fail flag. And it identifies the set of features that are highly correlated with the failures. And what we tag them as suspect environment features. Next step Mojave does is it takes these suspect environment features and feeds it to a source analyzer. What the first step in the source analysis is, it takes these environment features, identifies all the variables that pertain to these features, and then does a diffuse analysis to come up with a set of routines that are directly or indirectly affected by these suspect environment features. So at the end of the source analysis, there is a set of routines that are likely to contain the root cause of the failure. Now, why these feature selection and source analysis is mostly an optimization step, and I'll get to it in a next. So it uses these suspect routines to filter out the call sequences that were originally collected from the users. Now, imagine if it was Apache or a server or an OpenSSH server that has been running for days or months, the call sequence could be long. And we use these suspect routines to filter out the call sequence to only contain the sequence of suspect routines. Once we have these filtered call sequences, Mojave does a pairwise longest common subsequence for each user. And in particular, it does two different, it tries to compute two different metrics. One is the F similarity and an S similarity. So F similarity is the 90th percentile length of LCS between all the, for a single user, among all the users where the upgrade failed. So let's say if there were 10 users, and 5 failed and 5 had success, for each user it will do a pairwise comparison with all the users where the upgrade failed and a separate comparison with all the users where the upgrade had passed and compute two similarity metrics, the F similarity and the S similarity. Then it takes these similarity measures and the environment data and the success failure flags and feeds it to a logistic regression algorithm. The logistic regression algorithm would output a prediction model. It will basically be like a linear equation which would say, okay, this feature with this weight, if you see something like this, whether it's a pass or a fail. So this is the prediction model Mojave builds in the learning phase. Now, Mojave can stay in the learning, then it will use this prediction model to test on the users for which it already has the data to see if the prediction model is accurate or not. If the model is not very accurate, then it will continue to stay in the learning phase, hoping that more users would come install the upgrade and provide this feedback. And only when the accuracy is high enough would Mojave move to the next step in the recommendation phase. In the recommendation phase, the developer already has a prediction model built for it. Now, when a new user comes and requests for a recommendation, it will also have to provide its call sequences and the environment data. Note that these call sequences are from before the upgrade, and that was true of even the initial users. Now, once the developer has these call sequences and environment data, it would perform the same steps, the longest common subsequence and the 90th percentile length, to compute the two similarity metric for this new user. And feed the two similarity metrics and the environment data that the new user provided into the prediction model to decide if the and recommend for or against an upgrade to this new user. And the user is free to abide by the recommendation or still go ahead and install the upgrade and provide feedback if they are willing. So in summary, Mojave collects environment and runtime data from the users. It learns user attributes that are highly correlated with the failure using machine learning, call sequence similarity, and static and dynamic source analysis. In addition, now when the new user comes, it compares the new user's attributes to those of the initial users, again using call sequence similarity and machine learning, to recommend in favor or against an upgrade to the new users. So now let's see how Mojave did with two real upgrade failures. The first of the failure is a real bug reported in OpenSSH. It was a port forwarding bug. So in version 4.7, when users upgraded and used SSH to do large data transfers over port forwarding, some of those data transfers aborted. Now, let me describe the characteristics of why the abort happened. So users were using port forwarding, or as we know, SSH tunneling. In version 4.7, the default window size was increased from 128 kilobyte to 2 megabytes. Now, when in an SSH connection at the beginning, the window size and the packet size are negotiated between the server and the client. And the server, SSHD, has a hard-coded limit of 256 kilobyte for packet size. However, there was a latent bug in the port forwarding code of OpenSSH where the window size was incorrectly being advertised as packet size. Now, this was not an issue before version 4.7 because it was still below the hard-coded limit of 256 kilobytes. But in version 4.7, when the limit was increased to 2 megabytes, this bug got triggered at the user sites where they were doing large data transfers. The second bug that I'll be showing the results for is an X11 forwarding bug. Again, this was a regression bug in SSHD version 4.2. In version 4.2, there were some fixes to fix some of the channel leaks, but as a side effect of those modifications, they ended up destroying all the X1 connections that did not have a session attached to it. So the users that were now invoking X11 sessions in the background would fail almost instantly because there was no session attached to them. And this would work correctly before version 4.1. So this is just a description of the two bugs that I'm going to show results for. Now let's look at how do we simulate this thing. To simulate a real upgrade deployment, we collected system environment data from 87 machines in our department. These 87 machines were spread across two clusters. In addition to the system environment data that we collected from these real machines, we downloaded 8 real application configuration files from the web. Here they are OpenSSH config files. And we modified 3 of them to have the failure-inducing settings. Now, for each bug, those failure-inducing settings would be different, but we modified to ensure that 3 of them would have the settings to trigger the bug. Thereafter, we came up with 8 classes of input. Again, 3 of those inputs would activate the bug if the failure-inducing settings were present, and the other 5 wouldn't. And then, among these 87 machines, we use 57 of those machines as the training set, which is the set of initial users on which we learn the failure characteristics. And the rest 30 are the test profiles, or the new users on which we test the recommendation of Mojave. Finally, for the feature selection, we assume that 20 of the 87 profiles have failure-inducing settings. The other 67 are success profiles. And how do we, and the, we use, for the suspect environment resources, we assume that all the features within 30% of the top-ranked features are considered suspect. And for each of the bugs, we conduct 3 different experiments, what we call perfect, imperfect 60, and imperfect 20. In the perfect scenario, we have 20 failure-inducing settings, and each one of them is assigned an input that would actually activate the bug. In the imperfect setting, even though 20 of the profiles have failure-inducing settings, only 60% of them would be assigned an input that would activate the bug. And in 20% case, only 20% of the ones would be assigned an input that activates the bug. The reason for these 3 different experiments is to simulate the real world where the users might have default settings or may have settings that could trigger the bug, but not necessarily the input. We also assigned to some of the success profiles inputs that could trigger the bug, but since they didn't have failure-inducing settings, they wouldn't see the bug. And this was just to do a coverage of the real-world scenario where you may or may not have both the bug-inducing or the failure-inducing settings. Now, here are the results. So for port forwarding, across all experiments, perfect, imperfect 60, and imperfect 20, we saw only 1 misprediction, which was one failure induced. There was one user profile which had the failure-inducing setting and the input, but it was incorrectly predicted as a success. And the reason was that it was very close to success profiles, and it got a score of, say, 0.55 versus, say, if 0.5 was the threshold to decide if it's a success or failure, it had a very close score, and that was one of the mispredictions we had. In case of X11 forwarding, Mojave correctly identified or predicted success and failures for all users across all experiments. So in summary, Mojave prevents upgrade failures for new users with very high accuracy. So to conclude, Mojave is the first upgrade recommendation system. It integrates users in the upgrade deployment cycle by leveraging the past similarity between the user attributes. It also uses a novel combination of machine learning, static and dynamic analysis, and program behavior similarity to prevent upgrade failures for most new users. Thank you.
Questions? Mm-hmm. Did you look at higher order features or just the first order? As in, you know, a user who has feature A but not feature B?
So we use the machine learning algorithms that we have. So for both feature selection, we use the gain ratio, and in logistic regression, they do look at higher order dependencies. So for instance, I don't have the results for that bug here, but there was a bug which required three different settings to be in place, and if a particular user profile had only two, then it wouldn't be tagged at this. So it does look at the thing. But Mojave doesn't do anything specifically. It is the function of the algorithms that we use in Mojave. Yes and no. Yes, because if users are going to fail, if I look at any Bugzilla for any particular product or software, you see users reporting failures and giving detailed description of their configurations, their specific input, and even the logs. Now, if these users were tapped early on and in the initial phase, it is beneficial not only for them, but for overall. And there could be an incentive mechanism to encourage this behavior. And I say no because no matter what system you put in place, there is an adaption or a learning phase. And it depends on how motivated the developer is to collect this information from the users.
I'm
not sure I understand the question.
When you compile the software from source, mm-hmm. You can configure plenty of different functionalities.
Yes.
Depending on the configuration, you may or may not find the bug.
Yes.
You account for this kind of information.
Yeah, so that was the motivation of our thing is a developer, it is impractical, if not infeasible for the developer figure out all or test the software with all possible inputs and all possible configurations because this set is very large. And yes, there has been proposal for symbolic execution and use of something like symbolic execution in real world, which checks all possible inputs and configurations. However, for a large software, it may not be feasible, and that's why in Mojave, our aim was to get the inputs and the configurations from the users that are actually using this software. And the developer may never be able, I wouldn't say never, but it's very hard for the developer to come up with all those configurations. So like the port forwarding bug that I described, that was never reproducible at the developer site. Like it took 6 months for them to fix the bug, to figure out the root cause and fix the bug. Not even a single time could the developer reproduce the bug that was seen at the user site. And that's why incorporating the real users, their environments and inputs, and testing the upgrade with those in those settings is the most efficient way of figuring these things out. For both debugging and preventing future failures.
Mm-hmm. But I could imagine that in some settings, if I changed my environment,
Yes, the current version of the system, it doesn't do it. It does tell you what are the environment features that are related to the failure and why did you get the recommendation. It could exactly tell you how close you are to other failure settings and what are those settings that are causing the failure or that could cause the failure. And then if the user is ready to change, they could. We don't have currently a system in place to say what could you change to do it. I mean, we can see and do it, but there is no automation in it. But yes, we could, as a next step, we could do that. That would be great. Thanks. So the call sequences could range depending on the application and the specific input that you have. So for instance, in OpenSSH, the call across the two bugs, the call sequence length ranged from a couple of thousands to almost 100,000 call sequences, and depending on the input. The environment settings, there were around like 300 environment features. So what we had for Mojave is for the initial users, right? We asked them to install the upgrade and test the. I'll take a step back. There is an assumption, and the details of it are in the paper, is that we expect the users to save their input as they use even the current version of the software and save it at their respective sites of what user inputs they consider important or useful. So now when you give them a new version of the software, the expectation is that they're going to install this upgrade and run the upgrade with this input that they have saved and provide a feedback in a reasonable number of time, versus they installing the upgrade, letting it run in the field, and then reporting bugs. That's for our different system that we built, not for the recommendation system. For recommendation system, we expect them to provide us feedback in a reasonable amount of time, matter of days, not necessarily months or weeks. You had a question? In the prediction model? Okay, so in the logistic regression algorithm, by default it has a threshold of 0.5, and we did check it for across multiple thresholds. We went it with a fair system because we didn't want to say that the missing a failure or missing a success for us was equally important, and that's why we set the threshold to be 0.5 versus a different threshold. But you could easily tune the threshold to be different and have a more pessimistic or a conservative system, or a more optimistic system.
What do you think would be a function of the data? As you have more examples of failure, you have more confidence.
That's true. Yeah. Thanks.
One thing I asked, wondering, you seem to have like hundreds of features, right?
Yes.
How many, maybe 100 training examples?
Yeah, I had around 57 training examples.
Right.
Yes.
How do you remove features before?
So for feature selection, we only take the top. So feature selection gave us, the algorithm we used was an information gain ratio. It gives you a ranked list of features. And it also, if you use cross-validation, it tells you what was the deviation, standard deviation of the ranking that each feature got. So we would use the top feature and all the features that are within 30% of that particular value, the ranking that they had. So along, how many are left? So we'd use only those features in the model. So it ranged depending on the experiment. So in perfect case, we would have like one or two, which are the exact root cause. In imperfect cases, they went up to like 10 features. There was, I mean, those results are not in a separate study we had done. We used a similar. It went up to like 20 features. That was the worst case we ever saw. I didn't, could you?
Cooperative bug isolation.
Oh, cooperative bug isolation. Okay, in cooperative bug isolation, the production systems have been instrument, the production software has been instrumented with these predicates, and they are predefined predicates that are injected in this thing, and you collect, you sample this predicate information from the users as they are using the system. So there is a constant overhead, or there's a overhead throughout the production line. And in this case, we do not have any instrumentation inside the production systems, and this is done only at the time of the upgrade and not during the production run of the system. So that's one of the main differences. The other is the CBI didn't necessarily focus on the user's environment. I mean, the predicates may, by virtue of being inside the code, could incorporate it, but they didn't necessarily focus on what environment is directly related to the failures, which in our case helped us a lot in narrowing down the analysis to only that subset of the code. In fact, we also have a debugging system which helps, takes these things and help you debug the upgrade failures based on this.
So essentially, it's similar, but you have better data, effectively. If you focus more on data collection.
Yeah, and our data collection is limited to a very short period of time, at the time of the upgrade rather than during the production run of the system.
Anything else?
Thank you.